Hey everybody, this is Quirky Parenting. This is Andrew, your most treasured nerd, coming at you with this week's episode. Today we are covering the topic of Montessori, and what the heck is it? Strap your earplugs in and enjoy the show. So episode three, this is kind of a big one.
This is a topic I get a lot of questions about, and something that I find a lot of people don't really understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be totally honest and say that I didn't either. And so the question that I get a lot is, what the heck is Montessori?
Yeah. So we've kind of really grown to encompass and support the Montessori lifestyle in our home, and honestly, I pitch it to a lot of my friends and everybody else who have toddlers and other, or thinking even babies, you know, just to get this kind of method, the Montessori method, out there.
But we, I mean, each of us didn't always feel that way.
No.
So, like, first of all, let me say that the term Montessori is not, like, trademarked or anything in any way. So I can start whatever I want and call it Montessori.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you can do whatever and just say that it's Montessori. And so that's why you really have to be careful and do your research. And that's why a lot of people have some confused thoughts on what Montessori is.
Yeah.
And so I definitely was confused about Montessori when I was younger. There was a Montessori school in my hometown, but the only thing that I heard about it was my mom was a kindergarten teacher. I still is. She is a kindergarten teacher. And she would get kids from this Montessori school.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, and I'll talk about this a little more later, is a 3-year cycle. So you want kids to be there for the full 3-year cycle, which means ideally for that primary age, they should be there through kindergarten.
Yeah.
So my mom would basically get kids that weren't able to complete their 3-year cycle. And so sometimes they would be a little unbalanced in kind of in what they had learned.
Mm-hmm.
So they might be super, like, really excelling in math, but not be reading at all.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something like that, where it was really unbalanced. And so that's the only thing that I really knew. Other than people would, you know, oh, it's super hippy-dippy and they don't have any rules.
Yeah,
and they let the kids
around.
Do whatever.
Yeah.
And I just always thought, like, God, that's awful.
Yeah.
Like, why would people want their kids to do this, you know?
Yeah.
But so fast forward, I went to school for conventional education. I still actually am licensed K-12.
Mm-hmm.
To teach, but I did my student teaching and I was like, I really don't like the public school system. Like, I think I just got myself into a heap of debt for something that I don't even want to do with my life.
Yeah, it was a super fun time.
Yeah. But I nannied for a family, for a great, wonderful family, and they had their kids in a Montessori school.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, are they crazy? You know, because all these, like, preconceived notions I had, I was like, okay, they must be crazy. Like, why do they have them in this school?
Yeah.
But I would go to things. I would watch the kids sometimes, like, for a week while their parents were traveling for business. And so one of these weeks they had, it was called Take Your Parents to School Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to go and I learned a little bit more about it. And I was kind of like, okay, this is kind of cool. Like, it opened my eyes a little bit. So 3 years later, they were looking to hire an assistant in the toddler room. And I was like, sure, you know what? I'll go for it. I know almost nothing about Montessori. I've never worked with toddlers in a capacity like this. But hey, why not? You know?
Life experience.
Yeah. I mean, we'll just go for it. And I fell in love. I fell in love with Montessori. I loved it on the toddler, like, for the toddler age. Now I'm working in the primary age, so ages 3 to 6. I love it there. And I really introduced Andrew to it also.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, as you know, even before Mac was born, I was already had myself convinced that she can just do, you know, any child I have will just do what I did, go to public school. That's fine. You know, doesn't cost us anything. We have, you know, we have them in place for that reason. That'll be fine. But, you know, just from even having Mickey work at the Montessori school, I started to learn a little bit more about it. And it started to click, but the moment Mac went there, it really clicked with me.
Yeah, and my school every year does this parent education. It's called Journey and Discovery.
Yeah.
So when I first started working there, I did Journey and Discovery. And, you know, I learned all about Montessori. It was just really cool. It's like a 4 or 5 hour thing.
Yeah.
Where you just go through the different classrooms and you just, it's, I don't know, it's really cool. You just learn about it all. Anyway, so I brought Andrew with me. I dragged him along with me.
It was dragging the first time.
Yeah. And he even, just before we started recording this, told me that he thought it was really stupid the first time.
Yep.
Which, like, okay, super cool, Andrew thinks. But I had him go again after Mac was born. And we had started her in the school. And, I mean, you said you had a totally different experience this time around.
Yeah. I mean, it's partially because my daughter is attending it now. And I've seen what it actually does for them. You know, like going in first, you're like, okay, well, they're washing windows. Great. That's cool. But when you see it actually play out at your house and everywhere else, and like all these routines that they start to learn and have these parts click together for them, it's really eye-opening.
So I'm going to be talking about just some different aspects of Montessori education. Like I said, I worked in the toddler room for 4 years, and now I'm working in a primary classroom. And I want to be clear and say that I'm not a trained Montessori guide. Mm-hmm. I'm not trained, but I have worked. This is my fifth school year, and it's something that I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, Montessori is, it's like really, it's a large, like all-encompassing thing. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able, if I was going to tell you every single aspect about Montessori, this podcast would be like 7 hours long.
Yeah.
Because there's so much to it. But I want to just touch on some of the things that I feel like people really should understand.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, it's a little confusing at first. Definitely. So, I mean, honestly, I think that also is a good point where we're coming from, is because you aren't Montessori trained. So it kind of, it's a nice bridge between, you know, people who are totally in it as a career and parents who have no idea anything about it.
Yeah. So I'll just kind of jump in and start talking about some of the aspects of Montessori. So first of all, something that really pertains to toddlers is the idea that what toddlers are doing is not play. Everyone works.
Yeah.
Kids work, adults work. We call what they do work because that gives it an importance. And so we call the classrooms, we have prepared environments, which means that they're prepared. We have things ready. We have things laid out. If there's some sort of, some sort of activity, whatever we have set up, we have all the pieces ready, ideally, yeah. You know? So then it's prepared for them to just take this activity out and start.
Yep. Usually on a tray, just yes. to note. So everything that's pertaining to this activity goes on a tray, and they can take that entire tray to their workspace.
Yes. So, even toddlers, Mac likes, even at home, to carry things around on a tray.
Yep.
She will put things on a tray and carry it around. She's bringing her work to her table.
Exactly.
So within these prepared environments, they have the freedom of movement within the environment. Mm-hmm. So once you have things ready, then they are able to decide where they're going to do their work. So that usually is a table. Mm-hmm. We'll have tables that are their size, you know, no matter what the age is. So toddlers have, you know, little tiny tables.
Yep.
And so on. Or they will take a work mat out. So, and those usually just look kind of like a little rug.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll unroll the mat, put the work on, and that kind of defines their workspace. And they also just have freedom of movement. This is something where I love for all ages. So, like, even elementary students, if they want to work and lay down on the floor, they can lay on the floor.
Yeah.
If they want to stand up, we have a couple of tables that are a little bit higher up. If they want to stand up at like a standing desk, they can do that.
Yeah.
I know one thing for my siblings are the kind of kids who even now they just have to move. They can't just sit still. They have to move.
Most of your family is like that, actually.
That's true. That's very true. But so this is something that I kind of wish they would have been able to have freedom of movement at school, because they were always the kind that were like jumping out of their desks when they weren't supposed to. Or, you know, my brother is like kneeling, like getting in trouble for kneeling on his chair. And, you know, so if he would have been able to work however he wanted to, you know, laying down, standing up, or,
it would have, been a better fit. And I mean, even you and I have both also said we think we would have benefited greatly from a Montessori education, because opposite of that, my issue was that sitting in a desk just made me super sleepy, and like I would fight it as hard as I could, do whatever I could, but I was that kid who dozed off in class all the time. And it's not because I was bored. Well, I guess it was a little bit because I was bored, but it's because I needed to be up. I needed to be moving. I needed to be doing other things. So, I mean, like, that's something I saw directly that would have benefited me as a student.
Yeah. And being able to move around, it's also important that children get time in nature. Mm-hmm. So one of the really cool things, especially where I'm working right now, is that we have these fenced in yards that are attached to our classrooms. So the children can go outside. I mean, you know, we do about 6 at a time, and they can just work outside. So they can bring something from inside outside and pick where they're working. So they have little picnic tables they can sit at, or they have a couple of like outdoor work mats that they can roll out. But so they can bring their work outside if they would rather work there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so cool, because so often, you know, you get the kids who, it's a beautiful day outside, they're stuck in their desk.
Yep.
You know, and they're like staring out the window, just like, oh, I wish I could be outside.
Yeah.
And it's just so, it's such a simple idea to like, well, have them take their work and bring it outside.
Yeah. There's like the one day, like a year at public school that you actually get to do that with a teacher, and it's a great day, but it's not like a daily thing.
Yeah. And so the prepared environments, they also, what they will have is child-sized furniture, which I kind of talked about with the little tables.
Yeah.
When a child has furniture and tools or other things that are their size, they're going to feel welcome in the environment. I mean, I know that most of our houses are not set up with tiny furniture for your children.
Or like, light switches at their level or
yeah,
whatever.
Like, it's really cool if you can do that. And, it, you know, I would actually highly suggest getting some furniture that is their height. But can you imagine if you were a child and all the time you always had to like climb, like literally climb into chairs, or like, you know, it's just, how uncomfortable is that? You would feel so out of place all the time. But with a prepared environment, you have, you know, chairs that are their size. They don't have to climb into the chair. They can just walk over and sit down. It's their size.
Yeah.
The tools, you know, they can use something like, you know, we have like child-sized hammers for things, or they can, and so it's easy for them to grasp and use. It's their size.
Yeah.
And I just think that's so, it's so great. They just feel so welcome in their classroom. And the one thing that we would always get comments on in the toddler room is the sink. We have a sink at toddler level. And I mean, anyone with a toddler can tell you how much toddlers love water.
Yeah.
And that's such a huge, like, all the time we would get these comments because we have a sink right down there. I mean, you know, some of the smaller ones might need a little step stool, but it's their level. You know, they can get water in a pitcher if they need it. They can wash their hands if they need it. They can use the sink.
Which, yeah, I mean, another story. Sorry, I keep going to personal stories here. But I the second time I went to Journey and Discovery, I had Mac with me after I picked her up from the child care. And I had to change her diaper quick. So I just popped into the toddler room to do that. I put her down. I changed her diaper. Once I got that done, she immediately sat up, went over to the sink, turned the sink on, washed her hands, like, this is stuff she doesn't do at my house. Washed her hands, turned off the sink, grabbed a towel, dried her hands off, put the towel in a dirty bin.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Boom.
And it's funny how once toddlers are enabled like that, how much stuff they can do. Mm-hmm. You know, and one of the things in Montessori also is you have children, even all the way down to toddler age, handling fragile objects.
Yep.
So they have... they use glass glasses, glass pitchers. They have other, you know, there's maybe like vases, like glass vases that they'll use to do flower arranging. And they really learn how to be careful. Yeah. Now, I mean, obviously there's some kids who it takes them a long time and maybe quite a few glasses or pitchers to learn, but they do. They learn how to carefully carry things, you know, and just how to be really gentle with these objects. But people, that's another thing we would get a lot of comments on. Oh, they drink out of glass.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, they pour themselves water out of a glass pitcher. Yes, they do.
Which,
you know?
Yeah, which again is something that I was totally not on board with. I was like, plastic, why would I have glass? They're just going to break the glass. But honestly, I trust my daughter now with glass, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Take your plate, bring it to the dishwasher, take your glass, bring it to the table, put it up on the table, all of that, absolutely fine.
Yeah. And so that kind of segues into helping with the day-to-day activities. So in the toddler room and even up like in the primary room where I am, the children will help us. You know, in my room, I can ask. And actually, I don't even usually have to ask. Usually I have kids asking me, what can I do to help? What can I do?
Which, you know? Again, it's like a Montessori thing. They just get very, everyone wants to help everyone. It's very community.
Yeah, they take great pride in their classroom
and
in keeping the classroom nice. And so sometimes, I mean, it's just small stuff like, can you go put this glass back over on that table? Sometimes it's bigger things. Sometimes at the end of the day, the kids love to help me put all the chairs up on the tables so that, you know, this floor can get cleaned at night. And they like to empty the compost bin. I mean, just helping with stuff like that. They love. Toddlers love to help you. I mean, the biggest thing is if they can go with one of the staff members and help get something from the big kitchen or, like, put the laundry in, like, they think that is the coolest thing. But just helping, they take pride in it. And another way they help is that in Montessori, there's a 3-year cycle. A 3-year cycle means there's a mixed age classroom, which is something that I feel like in conventional education is starting to be kind of a bigger deal. So basically you have, in a primary classroom, you'll have kids from, we have down to about 2.5, up to 6 years old.
Yeah.
And what's really cool is so you have the younger ones, and they come in and they're, you know, a little bit lost. They don't really know. I mean, this is, even if they've been in a Montessori toddler room, this is still like all new.
Yeah.
But the older ones will really take responsibility. And so a mixed age classroom means that everyone gets that chance to be the little kid coming in, kind of that, you know, middle group of kids who are like wanting to be older. They're trying to help, but they can't do a lot yet. And then the older group. And, you know, once they get to that older age, you see a lot of them helping, you know, and sometimes I might have to ask them in the classroom, you know, can you go help so-and-so? They're little and they don't know yet.
Yeah.
But most of the time, they'll, oh, yeah, sure. Because they remember what it's like to be the youngest kid and they remember the help that they got and they want to pay it forward, you know, to the next person.
Which I just, again, to cut in here, that I was really confused about the ages in the classrooms when I first learned about Montessori and what exactly benefits came from that. You know, from seeing it, it's exactly what you said. You know, the older kids are actually helping the younger ones. Mm-hmm. I mean, the teacher can explain something, but a kid who just learned it, who's a little older, is going to be able to explain it a lot better, I think, if they're not getting it.
Yeah. And so I'll jump kind of into that. The teaching, it's not, it's individual. You know, sometimes the guide, the teacher, the main teacher is actually called a guide because they're not there to teach. They're not standing at the front of the room teaching you something.
Mm-hmm.
They are guiding you so that, you know, the student is the one who is going to make the conclusion. They're going to get to that conclusion without someone telling them.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so the guide will give presentations. And so the guide will keep a list of what presentations the child has gotten, kind of what the next ones are. If they're struggling, they might give a presentation again. And it's typically a one-on-one thing, especially kind of at the younger ages. It's definitely more of a one-on-one thing.
Yeah.
So the guide will sit down with a child and walk, you know, help them go through a lesson. And what is cool is that then we do have older children who will kind of give a presentation to a younger child on something.
Yep.
And sometimes it's totally a natural thing. It's not like we tell them, like, can you go teach so-and-so to do this?
Yeah.
But sometimes it's more of, for example, one work that I've seen this happen is pillow sewing. Mm-hmm. So we do button sewing in the classroom. And then once you do a lot of button sewing, you can kind of put two pieces of fabric together and make a pillow.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen older children, like, help the younger children make a pillow. Yeah. You know, and just totally like, oh, I see you got out the button sewing. Do you know how to make a pillow yet? I can show you.
Yeah.
Just a totally natural thing, which is always really fun to see. And the other thing is a 3-year cycle means that the children can work at their own pace. You know, so even though we have, you know, I don't know, 5 to 10 5-year-olds, they're all on different ends of the spectrum with stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some kids that are really struggling with math and some kids that are like super excelling at math. But they're allowed to work at their own pace because they don't have to keep up with all the other kids their age because that's what the class is learning today and that's what the class is learning this week.
Yeah.
They are allowed to do that. They are allowed to like, you know, oh, I'm still having trouble. Okay, well, the guide will come give the presentation again and try and help you understand it a little better.
Yep.
You know, that kind of thing. And so I really like when children are allowed to work at their own pace.
Yeah, which is also to say, like, if there is a child struggling, they do focus a little bit more on it. Like, the guide or teacher will take notice. They write notes, the assistants write notes.
Yes.
And it's known that they might be struggling or behind a little bit. So it's not like if they don't like math, they just don't ever have to do math.
Yeah, and what we do is children are allowed to choose what work they are working on.
Mm-hmm.
But like in my classroom, once children are towards that older end of the spectrum, if they are choosing stuff that, you know, maybe is a little bit beneath them or is maybe something they don't really need to work on,
mm-hmm.
we will tell them that. You know, we'll go over and we'll say, I know you really like doing that, but when you finish, I need you to pick bigger work.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about bigger work. Once you're a big kid, you have bigger work that you have to do. You know, and that tends to be, you know, reading, writing, math. It's those bigger works.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes if a kid struggles with one of those areas, they might not want to do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it might come down to, you know, us going up and saying, okay, so I know you don't, you know, you're having trouble with math, but I think you really need to sit down this afternoon and do, you know, this or that, or, you know, whatever work that they happen to be on.
Yeah.
So we do guide them. You know, it's not just a free for all of like, they can pick whatever they want and do whatever they want.
Yeah, you can't just do painting every day.
Yeah, no. And the other thing is, when children come into the classroom, they can't do work that they haven't had a presentation on.
Yeah.
We have a shelf, and it's usually kind of more like art projects. But at the beginning of the year, we also put like puzzles and some other smaller things. So they have something to do,
mm-hmm.
but they can't pick things off of the other shelves until they've had a presentation.
Yeah.
And that's something that's kind of important to remember, because then the new children will see the older children picking some of these works, and they might get really interested in it.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll come, I have children that will come and tell me, I'm interested in some work. Can you write down a note for, you know, the lead guide? And yeah, I would love to do that. And so they'll show me what they're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And then that helps the guide kind of structure, like, okay, they have to get from point A to point B. Here's how we do that.
Yeah.
And so letting them choose their own work, it's just so important. We can see what they're interested in, and we can maybe help them with things they're not as inclined to pick. We can find a way to make it interesting for them.
Yeah. So one other thing I noticed, especially more in the older rooms when I do Journey into Discovery, I've done it twice now, is there is a distinct lack of electronics in Montessori.
Yeah, and this is something I know people struggle with. Mm-hmm. We've had people before kind of, well, kids need to learn how to use a computer. Kids need to learn, you know, and they're right. I mean, in this day and age.
To actually say, I mean, I'm one of those parents. I am totally on board with that, because I work in IT. I'm all about computers. They are basically my career. So I am totally on board with getting that knowledge drilled into a child.
Yeah. Well, and first of all, a lot of the basics, I mean, when we were younger, and we had the computer lab at school.
You played Oregon Trail.
Well, but it was like, you know, a lot of us didn't have computers at home. So we literally had to learn the basics.
Yeah.
Here's how you use a mouse. Here's how you turn on a computer. Here's how you type on the keyboard. Because we didn't do that at home.
And yeah.
I mean, I know you could, but like a lot of us didn't.
I did have a computer basically from the ages of 5, I think I was. Something like that.
Andrew was kind of a cake eater. So he had a computer at home. I did not. So I had to learn it all at school. But so that was why we had more computer classes.
Yeah.
But in this day and age, everyone's got a computer.
And every child knows how to operate their parents' phone.
They all know the basics. So we don't need to teach them that.
Yeah.
They know that. So in the older classrooms, what it is that technology is a tool. And you know, you use it for a reason. You don't just go on to play Oregon Trail, no matter how fun it is.
Yeah.
What it is, if you're writing a report on something, and you've looked at the books that we have, and you're just not getting the right information, and you're not really sure, older classrooms will do, they call them going outs, which is basically they'll plan a trip somewhere to learn something.
Yeah.
You know, so if they're learning, if they're learning about fish, it's a field trip, but it's smaller. So if they're learning about fish, this group, this small group of children that's learning about it will set up a trip to an aquarium, mm-hmm. or I don't know.
I guess I should, yeah, it's not for the entire class.
Yeah, it's not like we're all going to get on a bus and we're all going to go learn about something. It's like, okay, these three children that are working together on a project are going to go do this going out.
Yeah.
But if they, you know, if they have kind of utilized all these things and they're still not getting the information that they want, then they learn how to get onto a computer and use it to make, do good research.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's a tool. The computer is a tool. It's not just to go play a game.
Yeah.
On school time.
Yeah, I mean, at home.
Yeah. And, you know, again, that's what they do at home. That's whatever,
that's,
you know?
That's your choice. That's whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think it's important still. And, you know, it's something the parents can do themselves. You know, you can't mm-hmm. put a child's entire education in the hands of the school they go to, no matter where you go.
Yeah,
that's very true. You as a parent need to take some responsibility and, you know, teach mm-hmm. them, because I guarantee, even if you go to public school, the IT classes and computer classes and stuff, they're not that great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it is basically, when it comes down to it, a tool. So, I mean, even as I'm adamant about technology and being educated on that, it's something that you need to take a step back from and maybe look at it yourself as well.
That's very true. But yeah, so Montessori, what it boils down to for me is, I see having a Montessori education is something that is just such a great tool for children, because through it, they learn how to do their own projects, I guess. It's self-motivation.
I would say that what I think it does is it doesn't teach you facts. Mm-hmm. It teaches you critical thinking.
That's so true.
And yeah. That's the big one.
Yeah. It's critical thinking. And I mean, internal motivation is also something, you know, the kids are not doing these things to get a grade.
Mm-hmm.
They're not writing a report so they get an A on the report. They're writing the report because they have found something they're interested in and they want to learn more about it. And then they want to share that knowledge with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And again, even at the younger levels, it's internal motivation. You know, they're not doing it for a sticker or something. They're doing it so that they learn how to do it and they can move on to the bigger work.
Yeah.
So, but there's always more questions about Montessori, because it does seem like such a mysterious thing, you know?
So, I mean, that's why we encourage you. If you have a question that you want to have answered by us, please submit it. We'll have a link below. Is there anything else that we really need to talk about?
I don't think so. But yeah, please send questions, because Montessori is something, like I said, is so big that I can't remember to talk about all of it in a short podcast. So I would love questions to be able to talk about more aspects.
I'm sure we'll have other podcasts specifically talking about more Montessori things and more specific things, for sure.
Most definitely.
So like I said, submit a question if you have it. Leave us a comment. Shoot us an email. Whatever you got, there will be links to everything basically in the information section of this show.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Bye now.